This morning's reading begins on page 523 in your pew Bibles, and we'll be beginning at Isaiah, Prophet Isaiah, chapter 52 and verse 13. And as you're turning there, a little background is God has been the protector, the lead for Israel, the exclusive relationship between God and Israel, protecting them from the surrounding nations. And yet judges, prophets, and kings could not keep them on task with the covenant that God had, the stipulations of the covenant that God had made. And so God, because of that covenant, because of what he had said in that covenant, brought those surrounding nations against Israel. And so Egypt and Assyria have taken the northern kingdom into captivity. And so they are experiencing the wrath of God in some measure. But God says, just before our passage, he says, that's going to change. My wrath is going to be against those nations who have treated you so poorly and who blaspheme my name and mock you and me. And I'm going to change the situation because I'm jealous for my glory. And he's going to do it in a way, though, that is unexpected. And knowing that these things are spiritually discerned and that we need the Spirit to guide us in our understanding of Scripture, would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths in it. And God, as we read this passage about your will and what you did and what you were about to do, God, may you, by your Spirit, help us to understand it. Guide us into the truth of it, that we might be changed, that we might be prepared to be observant, to be able to see what you want us to see in it. And God, we thank you for that you speak truth to us in these minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted high, lifted up and highly exalted, just as there were many who were appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
Before I go to prayer, let me just mention a couple of things. The elders are asking the congregation to participate with us, and especially praying on Thursdays, and fasting if the Lord would lead you to do so, just a meal or all day or whatever. But prayer and fasting for the church, for guidance, for staffing, for God's leading in the days ahead. And through this time of transition for our church. So appreciate that. Also, just a reminder about Wednesday prayer meeting at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings, and that if the Lord would lead you to be a part of that, we'd appreciate that. And on a different note, it did just occur to me that, our Junietta students, we love having our Junietta students with us, and knowing that in a few weeks you'll be heading off to somewhere else for the summer, and if there's something for you students that the Lord has used our church to be a blessing to you, that maybe we could share with the people before you head off for summer, send me an email or let's talk, and maybe we'll make a way to share that with the congregation. So, would you bow your heads with me, and let's go to God in prayer. Lord God, we thank you that you are the kind of God who is able to refresh weary souls after a long winter. Lord, literally and figuratively speaking, Lord, you are the one who renews us and revives us, and you are able, Lord, to no matter what circumstances may be, you are able to cause the joy of our salvation to well up within us. And so, Lord, I feel led to pray for a spirit of joy and of renewed strength to refresh and revive our hearts today. Lord, whether it's because of sin and failure or just some difficult circumstances we've been dealing with, Lord, revive hearts today and renew their strength. And we thank you for the hope that is ours as your children. Lord, for those who are fighting physical battles in need of your healing, Lord, be their strength. And Lord, for the spiritual battles, Lord, forgive our sins. Forgive our sins and our failure and our weaknesses spiritually, Lord, that we're not even aware of. But thank you that your grace is sufficient. Lord, we pray for our world and the leaders of our nation, our government at every level. God, guide and bring truth and integrity to be the guiding forces. Lord, we just thank you for our brothers and sisters in the church in Mongolia and the work that they do and the hardships they overcome, Lord, that the kingdom of God might grow there. And we just thank you for giving us a very real part in that. And just help us to be faithful, to do what you call us to do. Lord, this month too, we are called to pray for South Korea. And Lord, we just thank you for that amazing nation and the church there that is just so alive and so on fire. And Lord, just for the 15,000 missionaries that they send to other parts of the world. Lord, second only to the United States. And Father, We just thank you for the light coming from that nation. But Lord, we know that there are challenges too. And so, God, we just pray for your protection and blessing on the church and on the believers and on the missionaries coming from South Korea. And we just thank you for our fellowship with them, Lord, that even though we may never meet any of them in this life, that we will in heaven, and our fellowship will be sweet. Lord God, for all of the burdens and the trials that we face, we cast them onto you, Lord God, knowing how much you care for us. And we say, Lord, be glorified in our lives. Make us more like Jesus, and use this service to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I don't know much about the sport of power lifting, but even though I don't know much about it, I'm pretty sure it's not supposed to go like it did for this guy in this video. Looks like a lot of weight, doesn't it? Oh, wow. Oh, it's going to show that again here, I think. And here we go. Oh, so you can enjoy. Ouch. Oh, yeah. Not his best day. I don't know how much weight that is, but it sure looks like a lot. And these guys are really strong. I mean, I read that I think the world record in the bench press is over 700 pounds. For the deadlift, it's over 1,000 pounds. What this guy was doing, I think they call that the break your neck lift, okay? Listen, I'm sure that most of us at one time or another lifted something we shouldn't have, right? Or lifted it some way that we shouldn't have with bad results, okay? Whether it's a pulled muscle or the need for a trip to the chiropractor or whatever. If we're lifting something we shouldn't or in the wrong way, it can cause a lot of pain. And we can play it over and over in our minds 1,000 times. Oh, if only I hadn't lifted that. And there may be somebody nearby saying, I told you you shouldn't have lifted that, right? But oh, if only that were the worst of it. Too many people are lifting and carrying things that no human being was meant to carry. And I'm not talking about weights. I'm not talking about physical things. I'm talking about people who are carrying the weight of problems, of guilt, of sin, of failure. So many things that are just crushing them spiritually and emotionally. And when I say them, I'm not just talking about somebody out there. There's probably some inside these walls that this may be referring to. In less than 2 weeks, we come to Good Friday. A day that's so important, we could never overestimate its significance. But today, we're going to take a look at Isaiah's amazing, powerfully prophetic description of the cross. And I remind you, these words were written 700 years before the cross. And yet they so clearly describe what our Savior would suffer for us and what it means, what it means. You know, these words help us go beyond a superficial understanding of the cross to a deeper, richer, fuller comprehension of what his suffering really means and what it really accomplished for us. And in these verses, there are several places where words are used that speak of things that Jesus carried, things that he lifted, things that he bore for us, burdens that were laid on him, things that were so heavy. It says, more than one place, they crushed him. And if he went to the cross to bear them, think about this, folks. If Jesus went to the cross to bear those things, then that means that we don't have to, right? If Jesus took the weight of those things, then he did so in order that we wouldn't bear the weight of those things. That is really important for us to understand here as we take a look at this. So, let's look at four things that Jesus carried at the cross. And the first one is this word, infirmities. right? Infirmities. Look at verse 4 of chapter 53. It says this, "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows." What's an infirmity? Some translations, I believe the King James says griefs, okay? He took up our griefs. The original word simply means to be unwell, all right? To not be well. Some kind of physical ailment, a weakness, a sickness. Now, why in a passage prophesying the cross and what it would do for us, why would there be talk about sickness, about physical infirmity? Well, it could be understood as a metaphor for sin, okay? In our sin, we're spiritually sick, right? And when we look around at the spiritual condition of our world and many of the things that we see in it, sick is an appropriate word to describe it, right? Sin is a spiritual disease with which we're all infected. I don't think there's any argument there. And we see use of this kind of language elsewhere in Isaiah. However, take a look at how the Gospel of Matthew refers to this passage. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17 says this, "When Jesus came to Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. She got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word, and he healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases." Huh. So, in this passage, Matthew quotes from the prophet Isaiah, from this verse in Isaiah that we looked at, about infirmities, and says that the fulfillment of that verse came when Jesus, with the healing that Jesus did. Spiritual healing and driving out the demons with the word, as it says, but also physical healing and making the sick people well. So says there is healing at the cross. There is healing at the cross. The Bible seems pretty clear on that. And this then is why we can have confidence in coming to God in prayer for God's healing power for ourselves or someone that we care about who is dealing with an infirmity. Now, of course, the question always comes then, well, then why isn't everyone healed that we pray for? Well, that question would take a lot more than a sub-point in today's message to fully deal with. But let me just say briefly, we're saying that healing is provided at the cross. Well, salvation is also provided at the cross, and yet not everyone is saved. And there are reasons for that. And excuse me, Jesus didn't heal every sick person in his day, nor did the disciples, but they healed some. I believe that God also is up to something very deep when we deal with times of illness, as I can testify myself in my experience, so that he might delay full healing for a time. But finally, there is, of course, complete healing on the other side of the grave when we enjoy to the fullest all that Jesus did for us at the cross. So for now, let's just know this. Sickness, disease, pain, all are not God's ultimate will for us. And Jesus willingly subjected himself to beating, to injury, to death, in order ultimately to take up, to carry our infirmities, that we might know his healing and sustaining power in some measure now, but also that we might enjoy perfect health someday in eternity. You know, many of you who have struggled physically have heard me say, it's a good thing we get to trade in these bodies someday on a new model that won't wear out. Amen? Again, he took up our infirmities. A second thing that Jesus carried at the cross was our sorrows. Again, chapter 53 of Isaiah, verse 4. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Other versions say suffering for that word. In the previous verse, verse 3, it says it tells that he was a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering, acquainted with grief, Okay, a number of ways saying that Jesus had sorrows, he had grief, he had heavy things that he dealt with. And we think about Jesus' life on earth, could not have been easy, dealing with being misunderstood, being rejected. I can't imagine how, after knowing heaven and the glories there of that unfiltered union with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and then coming down to earth, where even those closest to him were so frustrating to him, I can't imagine how difficult that must have been, and how much sorrow that must have caused in his heart. You know, we see it come out at times like when Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem, just grieved over a whole city. Again, Jesus had plenty of his own sorrows. And yet he took our sorrows on himself. Now, normally, we usually consider it an unhealthy thing to take on too much of somebody else's problems, right? I mean, you know, some personalities just tend to be so compassionate that they take everyone else's problems and make them their own. And that can be unhealthy. And I've told countless people, no, you can't do that. You can't take everybody else's sorrows. That isn't healthy. That'll crush you. You can care. You can try to help. You can show compassion. But their problems ultimately have to remain theirs. You can't take them and make them yours. Well, that might be good advice for us mere humans. But Jesus, though of course he was the Son of God, was also human. And he took up and he carried, he bore our sorrows. Wow. But not, of course, in an unhealthy way, but in a redeeming way. How to define this makes me think of these sorrows as troubles that you and I all have to deal with. Things that we haven't necessarily brought on ourselves, but we live in a disappointing world, right? Where my sin hurts you, your sin hurts me. His sin hurts her, and her sin hurts him. Some of us have been sinned against in so many ways, and some in horrific ways, so that even if we don't constantly think of some specific offense against us, the collective weight of all of that disappointment can be a weight that we feel every day, and at times it can become more than we can bear. So what does it mean? If Jesus bore our sorrows on the cross, then why do we still feel them? There's a hint. 1 Peter chapter 5, where the apostle tells us, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You see, in order for us to really benefit from him carrying our sorrows and our anxieties and our problems, if we're really going to benefit from him carrying that, then we need to give them to him, right? I think that's a choice that we make, to roll these burdens off of our shoulders and onto his. And that takes faith. That is an act of faith. Let me ask you this. Do you really believe that when the sorrows of this life threaten to crush you, when they get heavy and in a very real way, you're feeling them on your shoulders, do you believe that you can give that to Jesus? And even if your circumstances don't change right then, that it really does make a difference? That it's a real thing to say, I'm casting my cares on him, my anxieties, my sorrows, knowing that he cares for me. That something really does change when we let Jesus carry our sorrows. Believe that. Believe that. An example from Scripture. When in a psalm, when David is facing, he describes difficult, discouraging things, but then he says, Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I'm helped. All right? Just by the act of his heart trusting in him, he's helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. He's not talking about circumstances changing. He's talking about just the lightness that comes to his heart by giving his sorrows to God. Just by trusting, he's helped and finds joy. Jesus carries our sorrows. The third thing that Jesus carried at the cross Another interesting word, iniquities. Iniquities. Excuse me, verses 5 and 6 says this: He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, there are a number of different words used to describe sin in Scripture. And we've looked at some of those in the past. But this word, iniquity, how it's used here, it speaks about the guilt for all the wrong that we've done. And it's a word that carries with it the idea that we are so distorted, we are twisted by sin, sometimes in ways we don't even recognize. And we are guilty and responsible for all of that sin. You know, if some of you remember back last fall, I preached a series on sin, and we looked at how it's so much more than just God draws a line in the sand and we step over it consciously and willingly. Sin is so much more than that. It's also like an infection that we don't even know that we have. And it's messed us up in ways that we might be vaguely aware of, but definitely not completely understood. That's iniquity. And Jesus carried it and the guilt of it at the cross. You know those times when you just know you didn't handle something right? You know, you just, you said the wrong thing or whatever. You know, like I think of times like when she asked me if I liked her hair, why did I pause? I know that's asking for trouble. Why couldn't I get that right, you know? No, seriously, there's much more significant things than that. Though that's not insignificant. here I go again. But really, things that we don't even understand about ourselves. Things that we wish we could get right, but we don't. Things we might not want to face about ourselves because they're so deep and we don't know what to do with them. That's iniquity. And again, Jesus took all of that on himself at the cross. Chapter 53, verses 11 and 12. Verse 11 highlights the future. It says, He will continue to bear, the latter part of the verse. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. It says earlier, he bore, he will bear. And then in verse 12, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So it all highlights that this is the main thing that Jesus bore at the cross. Sin, in all its different, the different words to describe it. But this is what he lifted from us at the cross. You know, the Old Testament describes how once a year, the Day of Atonement, the high priest would take a goat and he would put his hands on this goat's head and he would confess over this goat the sins of the entire nation. All right, just listing everything he could think of about how the whole nation had sinned against God. And he would symbolically, in that way, place all that guilt, all that iniquity on that goat and then send it out into the wilderness. And that's where we get the term scapegoat, okay? Somebody who takes the guilt, takes the blame. That's where that term comes from, that action. And the scapegoat is the one who bears the guilt of the sin. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this: God made him who had no sin to be sin. Think of it. Be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Wow. There's a lot in there. But he bore our sin, our iniquity. Finally, the fourth thing we see here that is carried is our punishment. Our punishment. Again, 53 verse 5. Pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. All right? Not only the guilt and the shame of our sin, but the punishment. A holy God must punish sin. Folks, please don't ever forget the fact that we're forgiven doesn't mean that our sin isn't punished. It just means that we aren't punished for it, but someone else was, and that someone else is Jesus, right? There's a chorus we sing, and there's a line, and it says, "Till on the cross where Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied." Sin makes God angry. It should make him angry. There would be something wrong with God if sin didn't make him angry. But who took the force of that anger? Jesus did. I truly believe that the greatest punishment that Jesus endured for our sin was not having the crown of thorns beaten into his scalp. The greatest punishment was not the whipping that just ripped flesh off of his back. It wasn't even the spikes driven through his hands and his feet. I believe that the real punishment for our sin that Jesus felt was the separation from his Father. That in some way that we can't begin to fully comprehend, this perfect unity of Father and Son was for a time changed when Jesus became sin. He took up the sin of every person throughout all time, and the Father saw that, and he turned away in disgust. And Jesus cried out in the words of Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And the Bible hints that in some way, Jesus endured hell itself, which is ultimately all about separation from God, really. So yes, people think of it. Even if we think we're pretty good people, we're all sinners who deserve hell, but Jesus went there instead of us. Is that worth our gratitude? You know, I've had this thought at times. It might be a terrible thought, but maybe I'm not alone in having thought it. When I have a problem, when I have something painful in my life that lasts a long time and it just goes on and on, the thoughts occurred to me, you know, what Jesus endured on the cross was horrible, but it was only a few hours, right? I mean, I'd love to have all my pain condensed to a few hours and just get it over with, right? And have the rest of life be pain-free, even if it was really bad. It's got to be worse than having it just, you know, it got to be worse to have it drag on and on and on, right? Then I remember that time is very different for God than it is for us. You know, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. Some of you had days like that, right? But by earth's reckoning, Jesus suffered and was in the grave a relatively short time. But never forget, folks, there was an eternity of suffering, of punishment that he endured in that. He took our punishment, all of it. The sin of every person who ever did or will live, the punishment on him, we see it as 3 days. But again, the mystery of time. I can't fathom it, but I am so thankful. So let's never be like some through church history who felt that it was a godly thing to whip themselves, right? Thinking that somehow they could put themselves through some form of torture to pay for their own sin, right? That is so messed up. That is wrong. It is an insult to Jesus and what he did at the cross. He took the punishment for us. But I deserve this. Well, of course we do. We all do. But Jesus took it for us anyway. Don't ever take away from that. As I've talked to some people who feel like some things that they go through, or and sometimes they put themselves through because, well, I've sinned and I deserve this. Yeah, again, but Jesus took our punishment for us. If you're like me, there are times when you just get weighed down by life. So many things pile on us, and we aren't sure how much more we can take. In light of all of this, folks, that God says here, I have to ask today, are you carrying something that you weren't meant to carry? Something that Jesus died to take off of your back? Then let it go. If you're carrying that, let it go. Give it to him. Be free and live your life in the grateful joy of the redeemed. Again, let's look at that verse in 1 Peter. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So not just anxiety, but all that weighs us down. We are invited to throw it off onto him. He wants us to, people. So when you find yourself with that heart heaviness, think of the cross. Think of this scripture. Let Jesus carry it. Don't play the hero. Don't be a martyr saying, you know, thanks, I can handle it. That's foolishness. Jesus went to the cross to carry our infirmities, our weakness, our sickness, our sorrows, all that causes us grief, our iniquities, all that's wrong with us inside, our twistedness, our sin, our waywardness, and our punishment, all that we deserve, he took it. Do we have a wonderful Savior or what? In the quiet moments that we're going to share in communion in just a little bit, I encourage you to take that time to ask God to show you what you're carrying that you shouldn't be, and to ask him to show you how to let it go, to roll that off onto him, to give it to him. And I promise you, you will not regret it. Let's bow our heads now for a moment, shall we? Lord, may we never cease to be amazed by your grace and by what was accomplished for us at the cross. Lord, forgive us when we think we understand fully what that means and what that accomplished. It's so much more. And we just thank you for these truths. And Lord, as we come now to the Lord's table, thank you for commanding us to continually come back to this, the bedrock foundation of our faith, to know on the basis on which our salvation rests. So speak to our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Gentlemen, please come. And as I always give the reminder, you don't need to be a member of our church or any church in particular to share in this gift with us. But we do just simply remind you of what the scripture calls us to examine our hearts, to say, hey, do I know what this means? Do I know that what Jesus did there at the cross, that he didn't just do it for some nebulous other people? He did it for me. He did it for you. And so if you understand that and you can say, yes, I know he did this for me, then you are more than welcome to share in this with us. And we just ask you to hold on to the elements until all have been served, and then we'll partake together. Again, let's pray. Lord Jesus, in these moments where we just sit in your presence and contemplate the greatness of your love, Lord, by your Spirit, speak to our hearts and just make it real as you love to do. And we thank you in advance. Amen. Amen. All right. Our closing hymn, Nothing But the Blood. Would you stand with me, please? Amen. May the Lord bless you, and may your footsteps be a little bit lighter this week because of what you know you're not carrying, Jesus is. God bless you.